This is KCRW. I'm Jonathan Bastian. As attention starts to shift to the coming year, one of the biggest political issues looming over California is the governor's race. Over a dozen candidates have said they're running, from well-known, like current Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, to the not-so-familiar, like businessman John Cox and political activist Nicholas Wildstar. Commentator and syndicated columnist Joe Matthews says that whoever wins will probably be the most powerful governor in California history. KCRW's Cherry Glazer asked him why that is.
For a host of different reasons, because of efforts by governors to strengthen their power, the weakening of the legislature, because voters have made several decisions that strengthen governors even though they didn't mean it, because of changes in media, the governorship really has been gaining in power structurally for, more than four decades.
You know, in some ways it comes as a surprise because here in California we have a full-time state legislature, unlike some states where lawmakers meet, once every 2 years, or they meet a couple months a year. So you would think that the balance of power in Sacramento would be more balanced.
You might, but we've weakened the legislature with term limits is in one way. They come to the table with less knowledge, less experience, while the executive branch has a great deal of continuity across administrations. The governor just has a bigger, more advanced team. Also, we've had so many years and decades of budget crises, and often what happened in those budget crises is we got little changes and then sort of larger reforms like Prop 25, which ended the two-thirds rule for budgets, that ultimately enhanced the power of governor and weakened the power of the legislature. It used to be when you needed a two-thirds vote of the legislature that the legislature had a lot of power then, particularly the opposition party, to hold things up and to negotiate and get things from the governor. Now, when you just need a majority and the governor is of the same party as the legislature, there isn't that kind of horse trading, and the budget essentially follows the direction the governor wants.
Some of the powers vested in the governor of California are similar to those wielded by many other governors, like the ability to veto bills, grant pardons, commute sentences, call up the National Guard. What can the governor of California do that is unusual?
There are a lot of little things. We have the line item veto. The governor has a lot of power and freedom in sort of moving funds around and managing cash. And then there are other things like, you remember that we raised the minimum wage to $15 per hour.
Right.
But that law gives the governor power to hold back the step-by-step increases up to $15 an hour. The next governor will basically have the power to set the wage level. That's unusual in the United States.
Does part of the power of the governor's office come from the sheer size of the state? California accounts for 30% of all the people in the U.S.
I think that's true, and certainly it's become a national platform. There's also sort of an international platform to it. We've had governors who've developed over a couple of different governors. Certainly the current one and the last one played in overseas politics, signed international treaties around energy and climate. In some ways, the California governorship is viewed as a second American presidency.
A lot of people, when they talk about the legislature, they may know they're one or two lawmakers, but it's this kind of, by and large, this sort of faceless mass up there, as opposed to the governor, where it's one person, where voters may feel like, well, at least we can hold this person accountable.
I think that's true, but that's also a factor of media. As there's been less coverage and less resources to cover Sacramento, the governor becomes the only person who's covered. I'm sort of struck by Kevin De Leon, who is one of the more consequential legislators of the last decade, who's still a virtual unknown in large parts of the state because he's never really covered.
Right, and here
now
he is.
He's running for U.S. Senate.
He's running for the Senate, and everybody's saying, well, he's not polling so well because nobody knows who he is.
No, I mean, he actually has significant Republican support because many Republican voters don't know that he's a very progressive Democrat.
And it sounds like at this point, with the governor's race ramping up, one of your big concerns is that you feel like, hey, voters, pay attention to what's going on here, to who's running in this race, and don't just get caught up in the political circus that's going on in Washington, D.C.
That's right. You're electing somebody who will be more powerful than any governor you've had before, so you should pay attention. And I think one of the lessons where people look at Washington, D.C., and most Californians sort of don't like or fear the executive power there and the Trump administration, is that we've created enough centralized executive power here. You should worry about here. We should take good care to look at who you're electing, because You know, we have a very powerful governor. If you elect the wrong person, that person can do a lot of damage with this powerful governorship we've all helped create.
Joe Matthews is a syndicated columnist with Zocalo Public Square. He joins us every Thursday and chats with KCRW's Cherry Glazer. And I'm Jonathan Bastian, and you are listening to Morning Edition on KCRW.